Welcome to the Nowercast Tech Briefing. I am your host, and today we are looking at the friction between cutting-edge artificial intelligence and the messy reality of deployment.
That's right. We have a fascinating lineup. We're going to examine a massive, coordinated effort to allegedly siphon off the intellectual property of one of the world's leading AI models.
And then we will pivot to the physical world, looking at what happens when an automaker trusts its automated inspection software a little too much, and the multi-million dollar fallout that ensues.
It is that classic tension. These models are getting incredibly capable in the lab, but securing them from foreign adversaries or getting them to accurately inspect a car door on an assembly line is a completely different beast.
Let's dive right into the details.
Our first story today represents a major escalation in the global AI arms race. Anthropic is formally accusing Alibaba of conducting what is known as a distillation attack on its Claude AI model. And the sheer scale of this operation is staggering. It really is. The details came out in a June 10th letter that Anthropic sent to U.S. Senators Tim Scott and Elizabeth Warren. According to that document, between April 22nd and June 5th of 2026, a network of nearly 25,000 fraudulent accounts was used to interact with Claude.
And they were not just casually testing the waters. Over that six-week period, these accounts generated more than 28.8 million exchanges with the model. Anthropic alleges that Alibaba used this massive volume of data to essentially extract or harvest Claude's capabilities.
Right, and we should clarify what distillation actually means in this context. In machine learning, distillation is a technique where you take a highly capable, very expensive frontier model, the teacher, and you use its outputs to train a smaller, cheaper model, the student. It is a legitimate optimization technique when you own both models.
But when you do it to a competitor's model without permission, you are effectively bypassing billions of dollars in research and development. Anthropic says this specific attack targeted Claude's abilities in agentic reasoning, software engineering, and long horizon tasks.
Which are the exact capabilities that are the hardest and most expensive to develop from scratch. Teaching an AI to write a poem is cheap. Teaching it to orchestrate a complex software engineering project across multiple files over a long time horizon is the holy grail right now. Alibaba allegedly just queried Claude 28 million times on these topics and used the answers to train their own weights.
Alibaba has not immediately responded to these specific distillation allegations, though they have previously denied separate claims regarding their ties to the Chinese military. But setting the geopolitical layer aside for a moment, this incident brings up a massive debate in the AI community. Is this intellectual property theft, or is it just aggressive data scraping?
Legally, it is incredibly murky. From Anthropic's perspective, it is a blatant violation of their terms of service. But copyright law has not fully caught up to this. If an AI reads Claude's outputs and learns the underlying logic of how to code better, is that legally distinct from a human reading a textbook to learn how to code?
The counterargument from the Frontier Labs is the automation and the scale. A human cannot generate 28.8 million highly technical exchanges in a month and a half. Setting up 25,000 fake accounts means they were actively bypassing rate limits, IP blocks, and likely credit card verification checks. That requires coordinated infrastructure.
Exactly. And it highlights a fundamental vulnerability in the business model of these AI companies. If you offer a public API, you are inherently exposing the intelligence of your model to the open internet. How do you actually enforce your terms of service when a state-backed actor or a massive tech conglomerate decides to spin up thousands of proxy accounts?
You probably cannot enforce it perfectly, which is why Anthropic is taking this directly to the U.S. Senate. They are framing this not just as a corporate dispute, but as a national security issue. The U.S. government has spent the last few years trying to restrict the export of advanced AI chips to China to maintain a strategic advantage.
But if a foreign lab can just rent API access through shell companies and distill the final intelligence anyway, those hardware embargoes become significantly less effective. You are trying to restrict the ingredients, but the finished product is essentially available on tap.
I think the inevitable fallout from this is going to be much stricter Know Your Customer, or KYC, regulations for API access. We might see a future where developers have to provide corporate charters or government ID just to get an API key for these frontier models.
Which is going to be a massive friction point for the open developer ecosystem. It is the classic trade-off between security and usability. But when you are facing 29 million illicit queries extracting your core intellectual property, companies like Anthropic are going to choose security every time.
Speaking of the gap between artificial intelligence in theory and in practice, let's move to our second story. The title here is Ford AI Hiccups Push Carmaker to Rehire Graybeard Inspectors.
This is a fantastic reality check regarding the narrative that AI is ready to automate complex physical processes. Over the last 3 years, Ford has quietly hired 350 veteran engineers to fix their manufacturing and quality control pipelines.
To understand why they had to do this, you have to look at Ford's recent track record. In 2025, the company faced an absolute crisis regarding vehicle reliability. They issued a staggering 153 separate recalls, which affected nearly 13 million vehicles in the United States alone.
And according to Ford executives, a significant driver of those quality failures was an over-reliance on automated AI inspection systems. They deployed these AI cameras and sensor suites on the assembly line, assuming the software would be more consistent and catch defects faster than human inspectors.
But manufacturing at scale is messy. The AI systems lacked the contextual understanding that an experienced engineer brings to the floor. If a door panel is slightly misaligned, an AI camera might just register an unexpected shadow or flag a false positive. A veteran engineer knows immediately that the underlying bracket was stamped at the wrong angle 3 stations back.
So Ford had to bring the humans back, and the turnaround has been remarkable. Just a few days ago, on June 25th, the J.D. Power Initial Quality Survey was released, and Ford actually ranked as the top mainstream brand.
That is an incredible recovery from a 13 million vehicle recall crisis just a year prior. But what is really interesting is how they are utilizing these 350 veteran engineers, often referred to in the industry as graybeards. They are not just standing on the line visually inspecting every car.
Right. They are being used to lead troubleshooting efforts, mentor younger staff, and crucially, retrain the AI tools. They recognize that the AI is not a replacement for institutional knowledge. It is a tool that requires deep institutional knowledge to calibrate correctly. These engineers are essentially providing reinforcement learning from human feedback, but for industrial robotics.
It raises a broader question about the rush to implement AI in legacy industries. Was this a failure of the computer vision technology itself, or a failure of management? It feels like Ford's leadership bought into the vendor hype that these inspection systems were plug and play.
It is almost certainly a management failure, and it is a pattern we see across multiple sectors right now. Executives want the immediate cost savings associated with automation, so they remove the human infrastructure before the automated system has proven it can handle edge cases. In automotive manufacturing, where safety tolerances are incredibly tight, that is a very dangerous strategy.
The timing of this J.D. Power ranking is also incredibly convenient for Ford's public relations team. They can frame this narrative as a triumphant turnaround. They identified a problem, brought in the absolute best experts, and are now ranked number one. It slightly glosses over the fact that they caused the crisis in the first place by pushing automated systems too fast.
That is true, but you do have to credit them for recognizing the sunk cost and pivoting. A lot of legacy companies would just double down on the software, tweak the algorithms, and suffer through another year of bad quality metrics to avoid admitting the initial strategy was flawed. Ford actually spent the money to bring back 350 highly paid senior engineers to fix it.
I wonder if this signals a broader trend in manufacturing. Institutional knowledge was heavily undervalued during the recent tech boom, with the assumption being that software could simply replace experience. Now that companies are dealing with the physical realities of these deployments, we might see a renaissance of companies valuing seasoned experts to supervise their AI.
I think we will. You cannot automate what you do not deeply understand. And nobody understands the quirks of an assembly line better than someone who has spent 30 years walking it.
All right, let's pivot and hit a few more stories real quick in our roundup.
Sounds good. What is the first one?
First up, a high school developer going by the name Slunk has managed to port Valve's classic 2004 shooter, Half-Life 2, into a fully playable web browser format.
This is a wild technical achievement. They spent 3 months using Emscripten to translate the Source Engine's graphics calls to WebGL2. It is built on a fork of the engine that originated from a massive Team Fortress 2 source code leak back in 2020.
Which places this project in a rather precarious legal gray area. Valve is generally known for being lenient with fan projects, but distributing copyrighted game assets and a leaked engine directly via a website might force their hand.
Yeah, and it is not a flawless port yet. Facial animations are disabled, missing eye textures give the characters a creepy look, and it crashes on certain map loads. But as a testament to what modern web browsers can render without any local installation, it is incredibly impressive.
Next up, a user named YTKIRTI posted a new tool on June 25th that essentially acts as Google Trends specifically for Hacker News. They indexed 18 years of history, encompassing about 45 million posts and comments.
It is a surprisingly addictive tool. You can overlay multiple search terms, like different programming languages or frameworks, and visually track exactly when their hype peaked within the developer community over the last 2 decades.
The main caveat here is that comment volume does not necessarily equal positive sentiment. A massive spike in mentions for a specific tool might just mean it suffered a catastrophic outage that day.
Exactly. It is a metric of engagement and controversy, not necessarily an endorsement. But as a historical archive of industry buzz, it is a fantastic resource.
And that is all the time we have for today's briefing.
Thanks for joining us. If you enjoyed the show, be sure to subscribe and leave us a review on your podcast app of choice.
We will be back next time with more deep dives into the technologies shaping our world. Until then, stay curious.